Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And with me, we have the pleasure of having Carrie Gray, Managing Director of the Wilmington Renaissance Corporation. Carrie, welcome to the program. Thanks a lot. We know how busy you are these days and enjoy your presence today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk about creative districts and the many different activities that you guys are spearheading here in Wilmington with the idea of extrapolating eventually the lessons learned here somewhere else in the state. So let's begin by going back to the basics, if you will. Refresh people's memories in terms of Wilmington Renaissance Corporation, what you guys do, and perhaps the mission of the organization.
Sure. Wilmington Renaissance Corporation was founded in 1993 as a partnership between the corporate community and the mayor of the city of Wilmington at the time, Mayor Jim Sills. And we are a privately funded 501c3 nonprofit organization. And we work very closely with the city and state and county to help with the revitalization of downtown Wilmington. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that we've worked on in our 21, almost 22-year history has been affiliated with the reopening of Market Street to two-way traffic, the establishment of Downtown Visions and the Business Improvement District, the creation of the Delaware College of Art and Design, and the redevelopment of Lower Market Street as the Loma neighborhood.
There you go. And results are showing up. Market Street nowadays is a beautiful place to just walk in and pass by and having lunch, dinner, which I normally do, by the way, frequently basis. Good results and things that speak about the connection between these kind of activities and economic development, which I know you believe deeply in, and the inclusion of the arts.
Absolutely.
And that's, by the way, people do not know that you are actually a singer.
I am.
I was not thinking about that. But you know what? It's important that people know that there's a natural connection because it comes natural to you. What kind of singer you are?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've been singing since the time I was in grade school. And now I'm more of a casual, you know, sing with the car radio kind of singer. But over the years, I've been involved with the Delaware Children's Theater and with Christina Cultural Arts Center and a vocal ensemble that they have. They're called Fruits of the Spirit. So, you know, I do it for fun. It's not anything I try to
do
professionally.
You're a soprano. Don't be shy and say it.
But it's fun, you know? I think that I can attribute much of my professional, you know, demeanor of who I am and, and my, you know, kind of skill set as a professional to some of the training that I got, as a singer and doing, you know, musicals and plays and productions and stuff. So
there you go. So the natural connection that I was referring to is you understand the importance of the arts.
Absolutely.
And you understand that the arts have a role in revamping communities, and that clearly relates to the effort of creative districts and the like. So give me first your stand on that kind of connection, Carrie. How do you see that helping, meaning the arts, revamping communities?
When we look at communities all over the country, which at Wilmington Renaissance, that's a lot of what we do whenever we're planning around a specific project. We look at examples, both regionally, locally, and nationally. And when you look at examples of communities and cities that have really thrived and have transformed their downtowns, which every city has gone through, whether they're a small city like Wilmington or a larger city like San Antonio. I mean, every city has gone through kind of this transformation of their downtown. And when you look at the best practice examples, most of those, and I would say probably 99% of them, have some element of the arts, culture, and entertainment that have been the draw and the catalyst for the downtown to come back to life. And so, I look at that and say, this is logical. This is logic. It's where people want to be when they want to be where good restaurants are, where good entertainment is, where the arts are alive and thriving, and where creative people are. I mean, it's just a nicer environment to be surrounded, you know, by folks like that. So, you know, that's a big part of what we do at Wilmington Renaissance is we look at best practice examples and then we try to figure out whether there's something we can learn from that and potentially apply. Not usually replicate, but apply the best parts of those things to Wilmington and our strategies in Wilmington.
There you go. So it is easy to make that connection. Now, in your visits, because I understand you were visiting more than just one, various examples of communities that have successfully implemented creative districts. What is the one that particularly got your attention and why?
Well, there's a couple, but I think Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, really stands out as an amazing example of how the arts and culture have driven a revitalization of their downtown. Clearly, their sports teams have also had a big impact on their downtown as well. But I don't know that those things would have happened necessarily if the arts initiatives had not started, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And what they did in Pittsburgh was a group of funders got together and wanted to save some of their historic theaters. But their downtown was essentially a red light district. It was, you know, it was adult bookstores and not so great clientele, you know, walking around their downtown. And so they took back their theaters and restored them and created what's called the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust. And the Cultural Trust owns and operates the facilities in the cultural district, but they partner with the nonprofit organizations to provide the programming. So it's an amazing model because not only was Pittsburgh's downtown struggling, but Pittsburgh itself was struggling because the steel industry had collapsed and they had gone from, I think the numbers were like 1.5 million residents to about 200,000 or 400,000 residents.
Yeah, not even close.
People just left Pittsburgh because there wasn't a job for them and they needed to go where the jobs were. And so this was one of the ways to start drawing people back to Pittsburgh. And it's been a great success.
Okay.
So that's definitely one that stands out as really...
got your attention.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
And you connected with Wilmington and the need of revamping the city via different kind of effort that does not necessarily just include more cops, right? So how did you make that connection and how you see that connection moving along?
So, you know, you said earlier the transformation of downtown has been pretty significant, and it has. And if people haven't been downtown, I encourage them to come down and see how Market Street looks today versus what it looked like 10, 15 years ago. Very different. But we need to build and capitalize off of that investment that's happened along Market Street, both from private investors and from public dollars to do infrastructure work and push that investment and thicken the experience that you have along Market Street to go past Market Street to Shipley Street to Orange Street and into Quaker Hill. And so that's the whole impetus behind this creative district strategy is how can we create more homeownership opportunities in Quaker Hill, which is a beautiful but very underutilized neighborhood, and connect those investments to what's happened already on Market Street by filling in the spaces between along Shipley and Orange and so and Tatnall and as you move further west. So it's about live work spaces for artists. It's about gallery and performance spaces. There will be entrepreneurial training and workshops for the creative people that are interested in coming into this district. And that's one thing that we've said all along about this creative district strategy is we use the word creative rather than arts very intentionally. Arts sometimes puts mentally people put the arts in a box. It's visual arts. It's performing arts. Or, you know, it might be sculpture. But really a creative district connects those dots to the dots of tech startups and, you know, tech entrepreneurs and makers, people that are interested in making furniture or doing antique furniture restoration. You know, it's it's such a broad spectrum. And so that's really, that's the diversity that we're looking to help infuse into this neighborhood.
So home ownership plays a huge role.
It does.
And also talks about a different kind of coalition. It's not just art organizations getting together and moving forward and implementing these kind of efforts. In your opinion, what kind of coalition needs to be built to be successful, perhaps based on the models you are following and you reviewed prior to initiating this initiative?
So one of the things that we've seen in a couple of communities is a real coalition of organizations that already exist coming mm-hmm. together mm-hmm. to push these initiatives forward. And that's one of the things that we've replicated here in Wilmington. So Wilmington Renaissance may be, quote unquote, the lead organization, mm-hmm. but there's no way we could do all this by ourselves. And so mm-hmm. we have at the table currently very strategic partners, and we're looking to expand and broaden that partnership circle. But right now, folks like Christina Cultural Arts Center, which is a mm-hmm. community center for the arts, mm-hmm. Interfaith Community Housing of Delaware, which is an affordable housing developer, Wilmington Housing Partnership, mm-hmm. Chris White CDC, which is the group that helped develop Shipley Lofts, the mm-hmm. original artist live workspaces in Wilmington that are rental. Mm-hmm. And the Quaker Hill Neighborhood Association, obviously, is a big partner as well, because you need that neighborhood connection. So these are some of the folks that are initially at the table as organizational partners mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. with Wilmington Renaissance to try and help direct and strategically implement the vision plan document that we created for this district.
There you go. We'll continue talking about this, but let me re-engage with the audience to let them know that you are listening and tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOB. For the Delaware State of the Arts radio show. Our guest today is Carrie Gray, Managing Director of the Wilmington Renaissance Corporation, talking about the initiative of creative districts that the Wilmington Renaissance is spearheading in coalition with some other organizations. You were talking actually about that kind of coalition. And it's important to say that indeed these efforts do not happen in isolation.
Not at all.
You need to bring more than one and put the pieces together. So as you guys move forward in terms of the initiative, who else should be included?
Well, the list is getting bigger by the day.
I imagine.
And so I always like mentally do a, did I forget anyone? And so I have to say that without the city of Wilmington as a partner in this effort, that it would be very difficult to implement. Mm-hmm. So we're really truly appreciative of the city and their commitment to this effort as well. The state also has initiated this downtown development district project, mm-hmm. which Wilmington will apply for, the city government will apply for, and hopefully the creative district will be within the boundaries of the DDD. And mm-hmm. so that will be one more leg on the stool that will help with the implementation of the creative district. And then we need the support and partnership also, and we have it, of Downtown Visions, the Business Improvement District. You mm-hmm. know, they're a big part of this. Some of the creative district boundaries are outside of mm-hmm. the bid, and some are inside, but mm-hmm. you know, they're looking at how can they strategically help the mm-hmm. district overall, no matter mm-hmm. whether it's within their boundaries of their district or not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those things are all really important, that you have those structural supports,
right?
That then the implementation partners can work together to try and figure out how to capitalize on those things to implement the vision for the district.
And this particular initiative is important, Carrie, because as you know, when it comes to Wilmington absorbs 60% of what's happening arts-wise in the state. So what happens in Wilmington has ramifications to the entire state. So this is an initiative that is important to follow, support, and nurture, because at the end of the day, we're impacting 61% of the money that the arts produce for the state. So it's not just like, let's just do something very nicely because the arts is a nice thing to do.
Right.
We're talking about economic development here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, this is a economic development strategy based in creative placemaking, mm-hmm. which is about how you take your creative and your cultural assets and put them more visibly into the community mm-hmm. and bring that inspiration to your streets, so that you create a sense of place and a sense that there's a lively community mm-hmm. In the creative district. And mm-hmm. so that's a huge, you know, important part of this, is that it's economic development, absolutely, based mm-hmm. in the arts and culture. And we've seen, again, examples of it all over the country that have been successful. And there's no reason why Wilmington, you know, can't see the same success, mm-hmm. Or any community really in Delaware could see the same success. And mm-hmm. some are. And we talk a lot about Milford and how that community has mm-hmm. a wonderful, thriving arts kind of culture that's mm-hmm. that's been, you know, developing over the last few years. And so, you know, without really maybe saying it specifically that they're an arts district in downtown Milford, they kind of are an arts district in downtown Milford.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Newark. The Newark Arts Alliance and their efforts in Newark are really, you know, bringing some of that, you know, arts and culture more visibly and more intentionally to the community. Rehoboth as well. You know, there's I think every community, small mm-hmm. or large in Wilmington, can really take some of these lessons around creative placemaking and mm-hmm. see them as an economic development driver for their community.
There you go. Now, what are the must-haves? There's in initiatives like these, you need to have pivotal things, things that need to be there to be successful. And also the things that you don't want to see, because that is preventing these kind of initiatives from flourishing. Let's go back to the first. What is the must-haves for creative districts in Wilmington?
Well, so as soon as we announced kind of the creative district as an initiative in mm-hmm. May, we started to hear from people all over the state who were interested in one way or another. And what we're hearing from the creative community very loud and clear is the live-work opportunities are important,
mm-hmm.
but the spaces for creative making, whether they're shared workspaces or whether it's rehearsal space for, mm-hmm. for local mm-hmm. bands or local performing troupes.
A place to mingle,
maybe. A place to mingle, a place to meet other artists. Mm-hmm. That cultivation of that artistic and creative community is a really big component and a strong kind of anchor mm-hmm. for everything else that happens in the creative district. So that's a big part of what we're doing right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Our creative chat series is meant to not only bring to life the elements of the plan that are in the document,
mm-hmm.
but it's also meant to be that kind of every other month opportunity for artists and creatives and supporters of the creative mm-hmm. district to come together and share and get to know one another and start to cultivate that community.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of it. You know, and in terms of other things that are needed, there's basic infrastructure things that we've identified that need to happen, whether mm-hmm. that's public realm improvements, some green spaces, some better lighting, you know, things like that that we've mm-hmm. already identified as these are some of the baseline things that we need to see happen
mm-hmm.
in order for the creative district to truly thrive.
And when it comes to those initiatives that you reviewed, what are the things that were mistakes that probably have to be learned so it doesn't happen necessarily in this case as you move forward?
That's an interesting question. You know, it's with every community, it's happened a little bit differently in terms okay. of how they've gotten started.
Or maybe
started.
Relate a couple of them that got your attention.
Yeah, in terms of how they've gotten started and in terms of how they've grown.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you look at, for example, Providence, Rhode Island, a big driver behind Providence and its you know, arts and culture and entertainment district are two elements. One is WaterFire, mm-hmm. which a lot of people are familiar with and recognize as a major arts event that mm-hmm. happens, gosh, I think a dozen times over the course of every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they celebrated their 20th year this year. So it's just amazing that they've been able to sustain that program all these years. And it's wonderful. I've seen it twice. It's amazing. The other is a group called AS220, which started as a group of artists just kind of squatting in a vacant building.
Mm-hmm.
20 years later, they now own, or 30 years later, they now own 100,000 square feet of building mm-hmm. space, and they have lease space for businesses, and they have printmaking shops and performance mm-hmm. spaces. They do work with youth. I mean, they just... this, you know, small group of artists started, and then it's grown over the years into this mm-hmm. amazing, impactful organization. So, you know, it's interesting. I don't know that we can look at anything and say, oh, they did that really wrong, and mm-hmm. we won't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We just look at things and say, how did they do it? And we ask that question when we meet with people, you know, is there anything you would do differently?
Mm-hmm.
The only person who gave us an interesting answer was Pittsburgh. And their answer was, we wish we had called the cultural district something other than the cultural district.
And what else?
I don't know. I think they wish now that they could have given it a brand identity that was more interesting.
Oh, there you go.
Catchy. I don't know, but it was kind of funny. And I, well, you know.
More in marketing terms. More building brands.
Yeah, so it was kind of funny. I mean, that's not a very substantive example of what they wish they had done differently.
Maybe something to pay attention to.
But it is something that kind of is lingering in the back of our heads as we talk about the creative district in Wilmington. Is it going to become known as the creative district, or mm-hmm. will it become known as something else?
Have you thought of a name, maybe?
We have not. We've been trying to let this develop a little bit organically in terms mm-hmm. of how we identify and communicate the district. Mm-hmm. But I think we're getting now to that tipping point where it's either we go with creative district or
so
we
you baptize
need to...
or not baptize.
Exactly.
So let me for those who might be interested, Gary, because this is as it evolves, people are getting very interested. If they want to connect with the Wilmington Renaissance Corporation, with the efforts of creative districts in Wilmington, what do they need to do?
So our website is bigideaswilmington.com. And so people can go to that website.
Mm-hmm.
They can email the organization and share ideas, give us a call at our office. They can also connect with us through Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very active social media presence. And so our Twitter is @WilmRen. And then if you search on Facebook for Wilmington Renaissance Corporation, you'll find us. And I would encourage folks to come to one of our creative chat programs. We have mm-hmm. one on September 29th. Jane Golden, the executive director and founder of Philadelphia Mural Arts Program, is mm-hmm. going to be coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then in November, on the 13th of November, we have Della Clark, who's the director of the Enterprise Center in Philadelphia, which is a community development corporation that's been working in West Philly,
mm-hmm.
and they operate a kitchen incubator. So I would say come to one of those programs, but connect with us through our website, call our office, visit us on social media.
There you go. And with that, we have to say goodbye, believe it or not. Okay. Thanks so much for your time today, Creative Districts, the Wilmington Renaissance Corporation, spearheading an effort that is worth following. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.